Amen. Many of you know our God's great. Amen. We know, even though we know that, I think the old song says the half hadn't even been told yet. We don't even know how great our God is yet, but soon we will see Him face to face, and in that day we will know just how great He is. And I look forward to that day. If you have your Bibles with you, I hope you brought them with you. We're going to be in the book of John. John chapter number 3 is where we're going to be this morning. John chapter number 3. If you don't have your Bibles, you can, of course, pull it up on your phone there. We're going to read the first 8 verses of John chapter number 3. And for a lot of you, as soon as I said John 3, you probably know what we're going to talk about today. But I'm thankful to be in the Bible. We'll see what God has to say to us today. Before we read, in John chapter number 3, Jesus, in the first 8 verses, He uses the word born 6 times. So it's obvious what He's talking about here. He is describing how or what or who is born of the Spirit of God. A lot of people in here are parents. A lot of people in here are grandparents, and some are even great-grandparents. And you would testify that one of the greatest days of your life is when a new child is born into your family. Right? Everybody knows that that is one of the most biggest joys and celebration that you have within your family. What Jesus is going to tell us this morning is that, yes, though a child's birth into this world is amazing, even more amazing is when someone is born again into the kingdom of God. Because though a child's birth, it does bring joy and it brings cause for celebration, the new birth brings everlasting joy. And the new birth brings everlasting praise to God. And as you know, you've probably skimmed through it as you're there. This is a very familiar conversation that Jesus has with a man named Nicodemus on what it means to be born again. And hopefully today, as we study this passage, we'll be enlightened. Our hearts will be moved and touched. And hopefully we will see these verses in a fresh light. And hopefully when we walk out of this place, we'll begin to praise God again for the wonderful gift of new birth. And that's our prayer this morning. John chapter number 3, verses 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that Thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto Him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I want to show you this verse along with it this morning. We all know this very familiar verse as well. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9. Paul is writing, he says, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And let's say this part together. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So everybody gets that. I wanted to show you these two texts together today because though we're talking about two different speakers, the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul, and though it is two different wordings that are used, he says saved, Jesus says born again. It is speaking the exact same message, and the message is this. There is only one way into the kingdom of heaven. It's not by works. It's not by religion. It's only by being born again. Jesus and Paul are saying the exact same thing. The only way into the kingdom of heaven is not by what we do, it is by what God does in us. Father, we ask that You would bless Your Word today. And Lord, as we dive deeper into it right now, God, I pray that You would give us understanding. Lord, that we may look at what it means to be born again in a fresh light of what Your Word says about how we're born again and about what it means, God. Because we should be praising You and giving You glory every single day of our life for being born again into the kingdom of God and being a child of God. So Lord, today I pray that You would fill our hearts with wisdom and with knowledge so that we might praise You with that wisdom that You give us, Lord, through Your Word. And we thank You and we love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 1 says, this man named Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. Now in John chapter number 2, Nicodemus had already seen the miracles that Jesus had done in the temple in Jerusalem. The buzz is already going around all around town about who this man Jesus was, about the works that He's doing, about the miracles that He's performing. And to be honest, although all the other Pharisees were pretty upset with Jesus, Nicodemus is wondering even more who Jesus is. And he's got something that's stirring in his heart, and he wants to find out about this man named Jesus. So he comes to Jesus secretly by night. And the Bible says in verse number 1 that he is a Pharisee. Now we need to understand that because this is very important to the storyline here. You say, who are the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the leaders of religion at this time period, and the Pharisees were extremely religious with their lives. I want you to listen to what the Pharisees did on a week-by-week basis. They tithed to the temple more than they were supposed to. The Pharisees prayed daily. They prayed in public and they prayed in private. The Pharisees knew the Old Testament Scripture front to back and they could memorize it. The Pharisees attended Sabbath worship every single week with no excuse. And the Pharisees were the religious elite of their day. And those things that I just said to you, those are amazing things. They tithed more than they're supposed to. They prayed. They knew the Scripture. They attended worship. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with those things. But there was something wrong with the Pharisees. And the problem with the Pharisees was the motive for which they did those things. The motive, the reason for which they did those activities. And here's why they did all of those things that I just mentioned. They did those things in order to appease God. They did those things in order to earn God's favor and to earn God's love and approval. The Pharisees believed that they had it within themselves to get themselves to God and earn their own way to heaven through their own goodness and through their own righteousness. And according to the people of Israel that lived around Jerusalem and the surrounding areas, if there was anybody that was going to heaven to meet God, to spend eternity with God, it was the Pharisees. If anybody was going, it was them. But you see, though they had everybody around them fooled, when Jesus came along, they couldn't fool Him. Because you see, Jesus has an all-seeing eye. He looks past this and He sees right here. Jesus is omniscient, which means He knows all things. He sees all things. Though I can't see inside of your heart, all I can see is the clothes you're wearing, the face you have on. Jesus this morning is looking past all of that right here into what is in our heart. So Nicodemus comes along and he's dressed in his Pharisaical religious clothing and he's coming to Jesus by night, and he might want to impress Jesus with the knowledge that he has, but Jesus sees right through all of that stuff and he sees exactly what Nicodemus needs, and what he needs is a relationship with God. He doesn't need any more religion. He has all of it. The one thing he needs is a relationship with God, and that only comes by being born again. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, I know that God is with you. These miracles you're doing are absolutely amazing. You're a teacher. God is with you. And Jesus acted like he didn't even hear anything he said. And he goes straight to the heart of the matter. And that's what we're going to do this morning, talking about the new birth. Number one, I want you to see the must. Why must we be born again? Look at what Jesus said in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he may not see the kingdom of God. Is that what it said? No, it says he cannot. An impossibility to see the kingdom of God unless a man is born again. Look at verse 7. Let's look at the wording there. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must. You must be born again. So he says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he says, you must be born again. So Jesus here, talking to Nicodemus, he leaves absolutely no room for us to misinterpret what he is saying. And what he is saying is this, the only possible entrance into the kingdom of heaven is by being born again. That is the only possible way. The only gate into heaven is by being born again. And the question we have to ask ourselves is why? Why must we be born again? And here's why. The Bible says that you and I are dead. It doesn't just say we're sick. It doesn't just say we're sinners. It says we're dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you who were dead in sins and trespasses. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins. Now here's an important question. How dead is dead? Can somebody be halfway dead? 20% dead? How dead are we then? Completely. Dead means 100% dead with no life. And you know this as well as I know this. The only thing that can help a dead person is if somebody comes along and brings them life. Am I right about that? Let's say I bring a dead person in here this morning. First of all, none of y'all wouldn't be here anymore. But let's say I bring a dead person to church. Will coming to church and sitting on a pew bring that dead person back to life? Let's say we walk around with our buckets taking up the tithe, and I put my tithe in that dead man's hand, and I let him, by my hand, drop it in there. Is that going to bring him to life? All right. Let's say he sits there, and man, I hammer down on the gospel. You must be saved. You must be born again. You have to call upon Jesus. Can that bring him to life? None of those things can bring a dead person back to life. The only possible way that a dead person comes to life is if the life giver breathes life back into him. And Jesus did that plenty of times. And the only person who is the life giver is God. God is the giver of life. He did it with Adam in Genesis chapter number 2. And I tell you that because that is exactly what it means to be born again. That is what it means to be born again. You and I are dead. But God, who is the giver of life, looks down one day at our spiritually dead souls and He imparts new life to us. That's what it means to be born again. And that's why we must be born again, given new life, is because we are dead. To be born again literally means to be born from above. When God sends down life from above and brings new life into us. Everybody all right? That is exactly what it means to be born again. And you know what Jesus said? Unless that happens, you cannot enter. Unless that happens, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So that's the why. It's because we are dead and we must be brought to life by God. I'm moving quick. This point's going to be long. Not only the must of why we must be born again, but number two, the method of how we are born again. Now everybody, most people heard Jesus loud and clear in verse number 3. Nicodemus heard Jesus loud and clear, and he made it very clear to him that the only way into the kingdom is to be born again. Shake your head if you know that. That's very simple to understand. That's the only way into the kingdom of God is to be born again. It's simple. All right. So the next question you've got to ask yourself is how? How is one born again then? How is that accomplished? And that is exactly what Nicodemus asked in verse 4. Look at the first word he said. Nicodemus saith unto him, how? How then? You're telling me I must be born again, so how? And here's why Nicodemus asked that. Because all of his life, Nicodemus had been taught and he had thought the way to gain entrance into the kingdom was by being good enough. The way to gain entrance into the kingdom was by being religious and by proving to God that he was worthy to spend eternity there. That's what he thought his entire life. But now, in one conversation, Jesus looks at Nicodemus, and now he tells him something that is impossible for him to do. I must be born again. And you know what went through Nicodemus' mind? I can't do that. That is impossible for me to be born again. But you know what? That was the exact point Jesus was trying to make. Because it's not something you do. It's not something you can do. Jesus is saying it's impossible for you to be born again. It is impossible for Nicodemus to do anything to be born again. So you're looking at me saying, hold on. So if it's something we don't do, how does that happen then? If it's something we don't do, how is one born again? I want you to listen very, very, very carefully. Every single person in here, I don't know how many people's here, but we have a lot of things in common. But there is one thing every person in here has in common. We were all born, right? The only reason we're here is because we were born. There was no other way to get to planet Earth than to be born. Whether you were born in the 30s, the 40s, the 70s, the 90s, or the 2000s, you were born. Now here's the question. What role did we play in our own birth? You know the answer. None. What role did we play in our own birth? The answer is absolutely none. The only role we played was coming forth to life. That's it. And likewise, Jesus is going to tell us in the new birth, being born again, you don't play a role either. The only role we have is coming forth to life when God calls. Let me explain. I got a lot of questions for you this morning. How were we born physically? Now, hopefully everybody took this class in middle school and in high school, so I ain't got to explain it. All right? If your kids are in here, you don't want them to know yet. How were we born physically? All right? Here's how we were born physically. Two parents, a mom and a dad, came together. And through two parents coming together, we were brought to life. That's it. Through two parents, two sources coming together, you and I were born. Here's what's, in my word, cool. The spiritual life is the same way. The spiritual life is the same way. God takes two parents, if you will. He takes two sources, and through those two sources coming together, they cause us to be born again. You say, what are you talking about? Look at verse 5. Jesus is about to tell you what those two sources are. except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what two sources cause us to be born again? Jesus says it's water and it's Spirit. And He says when those two things come together, you are born again. The same way a mom and a dad come together, we're born. Jesus says the new birth, water and Spirit, you're reborn. Now, what is He talking about when He says water? A lot of people say He's talking about, well, you've got to be baptized to be born again in water, but that's not the case. Because baptism wasn't even a thing when Jesus is sitting here talking. He hadn't even died and resurrected yet. So, what is water? Well, in John chapter number 13 and Ephesians chapter number 5, water is a symbol of the Word of God. It's a symbol of the Word of God. You say, well, what is the Spirit? It's the Spirit. It is the Spirit of God. So Jesus says, when the Word of God and the Spirit of God come together, they bring forth new life. Now the prophet Ezekiel explains just how it happens. This is the Old Testament. Yet he's telling you how to be born again. This is what God says. You ready? Ezekiel 36 verses 25 through 27. God says, then will I sprinkle clean. What's that next word? I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my what? Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways. Verse 25, He said, I will sprinkle you with water. Verse 27, then I will put my Spirit within you. Now let me ask you a question. Where do you see the word me in there? It's just in those verses. Anybody? No, over and over and over, God says, I will, I will. This is what I will do. I will do this. I will wash you, and I will put my Spirit within you. And that is exactly what the new birth is, and that's exactly how it happens. Here's what Warren Wiersbe said. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and imparts to the believer the life of God. That's how one is born again. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and gives to the believer the life of God. And when God alone does that, you and I are born again into His family. That's how. Not by anything we did, said. It was because of what He did on the inside of us. Jesus says it's through God's Word and it's through God's Spirit by which we are born again. And just in case you think I'm playing, listen to what Peter said. Peter attests to the exact same thing. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. Being born again by, not yourself, not your works, not by what you did, but by the Word of God. You say, well, what about Paul? Peter's a little messed up sometimes. Listen to what Paul said. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And look at there. By the washing. Usually that entails water, of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the exact same thing Jesus said, you're born again by water and the Holy Spirit. Paul said the exact same thing. You're born again when He washes you and He puts His Spirit within you. So through water and through the Spirit, we are born again. And the reason it's kind of quiet in here is because that's not what you've heard your entire life, probably. But that's what the Bible says. You see, water is a picture of the Word of God. Now, we'll get to that in a second. You know what's a symbol of the Spirit of God, though, in the Bible? Wind. Wind. Over and over and over again, in the book of Acts, even in the Gospel of John, wind is a symbol, a picture of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to read an illustration in the Bible for you. And hopefully, it will bring together exactly what I am telling you of how you and I are born again. And it comes from that very same near passage, the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37. Now, I want to read it to you. And I want you to know how it relates to us being born again, all right? Ezekiel says this in Ezekiel 37. He says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me. And He carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, God, Thou knowest. And again He said unto me, prophesy or preach unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, bring up flesh upon you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones started coming together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. And then God said unto me, prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet." That would make an amazing movie, by the way. Here's what's happening in this vision, this thing that Ezekiel sees. Ezekiel walks into a valley that is just like that. It is full of dead, dry bones. They're not halfway dead, they're fully dead. Their flesh is gone. And God said, "Ezekiel, start preaching. Start preaching the word of the Lord to these dead, dry bones." So Ezekiel says, fine. "Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." And when he begins to preach, something begins to happen. The bones literally start coming together the way they need to be. The bones start coming together, shoulder upon the arm, leg upon the hip. All of these things, they start coming together. And you can imagine how scared Ezekiel is, all right? But now it's only a skeleton. Yeah, they're put together, but Ezekiel said this, there's no breath in them. So God says, well, I need you to do one more thing. Call for the wind to come. And when Ezekiel said, O wind, come and breathe upon these slain, the Bible says when the wind blew, it caused them to have brand new life. That is a picture of how a man is born again. You say, what are you talking about? Because that is the exact same thing that God does with us. Let me describe to you what He did with me. There was one day that I was dead in my trespasses and sins, just like those dead, dry bones. And all of my life, from the time I was Levi's age to the time that I am now, I have heard the Word of God. Preachers preached to me that Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus ascended, Jesus could forgive me of my sins. And I had heard that word all of my life, but I was still dead. But there was one day, Brother Danny, in 2006, that all of a sudden the wind started blowing on me. And the Holy Spirit of God began to speak to my heart and say, Jesus died, Jesus rose, Jesus wants to save you. And in that moment, the Spirit of God came upon me and breathed upon me and spoke to my heart. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and my deadness was brought to life. That is how a man is born again. Just like that. The Word and the wind. Without the wind, there ain't no chance. You need the Spirit of the Lord to blow upon your soul in order to be born again. And that's exactly what Jesus said in John chapter number 3, verse number 8. Jesus talks about the wind, which is pretty amazing. He's already talked about the water. And because after he said that, Nicodemus began to look at him like some of you are looking at me. Huh? And that's why Nicodemus said in verse 7, Jesus said this in verse 7, marvel not. In other words, don't get too confused that I said you must be born again. Because then in verse 8, he says this, the wind, it blows where it wants. He said you can't tell where it comes from and you have no idea where it goes. The only thing you can do with the wind, you can hear the sound of it. Wind is invisible. Wind is uncontrollable. And wind is very powerful. And Jesus says, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus is sitting here worried as can be because he just heard Jesus say, you're telling me I can't do anything to get there? And Jesus is saying, listen, don't worry too much about it. Because one day, the wind's going to blow upon you. And you're not going to know what happened. You're not going to know where it came from. The only thing you're going to do is hear the sound of the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you. And you will respond in faith and you will be born again. That's what he's saying. He said, man, don't worry about it. God loves you. And God will cause the wind to blow upon you one day. And the only thing you need to do is say, thank you. I'll receive it by faith. You see, you can't make the wind blow. None of us have the power to make the wind blow. None of us can manipulate the wind and make it go this way. The wind does exactly what it wants to do when it wants to do it. And that's what God is saying about salvation. I will blow when I want to do it and how I want to do it. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, when you're born again, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Just like we have a new baby that is born into the world, he said, when you're born again and you're now in Christ, you're brand new as well. You're a new creation. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I'm born again. What a gift that is. Number 3, and I'm done. Not only the must, the method, but also the result. The result of being born again, of the new birth. What? Let me give you 3 results that happens when a person is born again. This is going to shock you. Number 1, belief in God. The first result of being born again is we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15 says, whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Verse 16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believes on Him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed. Verse 36, he that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life. You say, well, how is all of this possible to receive the new birth? Jesus says, very simple. Believe. Believe. And you may be asking yourself right now, well, how in the world do I know if I've been born again or not? How do I know that what you just described has happened to me? Here's how you know. Because one day you called on Jesus to save you. You could have never, and you would have never, ask Jesus to save your soul had not the Holy Spirit put that desire in your heart. The Bible says none of us seek God. None of us even want God. Romans chapter number 1 and 3. We don't seek after God, so therefore we're walking in a totally different direction. Therefore, in order for God to get us start walking in this direction towards Him, the Holy Spirit has to change our desire. And if you ask Jesus to save you, you wanted Him. And that is because the Holy Spirit put that within you. And He caused you to be born again. And we could have never, ever, ever, ever done that had not God breathed His Holy Spirit upon us. Remember, what can a dead man do? Nothing. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. You and I are not the ones who initiated our salvation. God did. Therefore, you know what that means? God deserves the credit for it. And that's the second thing. The outcome, the result is not only belief in God. Number two, it gives praise to God that we've been born again. And the reason I really wanted to preach this to you this morning, my intentions, was because all of my life I have said this. And all of my life I've heard this said. The reason I'm going to heaven is because I believed in Christ. The reason I'm going to heaven is because I chose Jesus, because I decided to believe. All right. That's fine. But do you hear how much boasting is in that? I'm going to heaven because I'm going to heaven because I decided. I'm going to heaven because I chose, because I did this. Didn't Paul say there's no boasting in salvation? You see, being in heaven one day, can you imagine somebody walking around saying, "Hey man, the reason I'm here is because I believed"? Can you imagine that? Is that what's going to be said? The reason I am here is because I believed. No, no, no. That's not the reason. That's giving praise to me. That's everybody looking at me saying, "Hey, hey, hey, he believed. He, let's look at him. That's why he's here." That's giving praise to me. Now, yes, we did believe in Him, and yes, that is required to get to heaven, but that is not the reason I'm saved. The reason I am saved is not because of my decision, it was because of God's decision to look upon a dead, lifeless soul like me and breathe His Holy Spirit upon me and cause me to believe. The only reason I even believed is because God gave me the gift to believe. We cannot even believe on Him without Him giving us the gift of belief. So therefore, you know what that means? No glory is given to me for my salvation. It's all given to Him. Because had He not looked upon our dead, lifeless soul one day, we'd still be dead. I didn't initiate this relationship. He did. He's the one who chose me first. The result is not only belief in God, praise to God. But here's the third thing. You get to spend forever with God. When you're born again, you spend forever with God. Now, I know you realize this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. On August the 20th, 2020, Levi was born. And from that day forward, there is absolutely nothing Levi can do. There is nothing Levi can say in which he will unbecome my son. Is that right? In which he will stop being my son. Levi is going to probably do some bad things. He's going to talk rude and say some bad things. He's going to disobey and maybe not do what I tell him to do every now and then. He's going to rebel, I'm sure, at one point in his life. But you know what, Brother Carl? None of that will make him stop being my son. Once he was born as my son, man, you can't take that back. It is impossible in any circumstance for him to not be my son any longer. And it's the exact same thing with the new birth. If you have been born again, it is 100% impossible for you not to be a child of God anymore. Because that would mean God would have to come and take His very nature out of you. I'm going to end with this. Romans chapter number 8. Because Paul speaks the exact same thing. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Then he says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know if you got that, But Paul said every single thing in the universe, in that world, and in that world, it doesn't matter. It is not able to separate you from the love of your Heavenly Father, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. See, once you become a child, a son of God, you can't unbecome a child of God. Because He has already caused us to be born into His family. Now, there are two occasions in which Peter was preaching and Paul was preaching. And they preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of Acts, Peter was preaching. And the Bible says, as Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came upon the listeners. And right in the middle of his preaching, one man stood up and said, "What must I do to be saved?" You know what Peter said? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." That's it. The Philippian jailer. An earthquake had just happened. This man is thinking he's about to die in the next 5 seconds. And yet he sees the Apostle Paul over there who's been singing all night about Jesus. And he looks at Paul and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Man, you need to pray this long prayer." Paul said, "You need to go to church. You need to turn this around. You need to stop doing this, start doing that." Paul said, very simple, "Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You see, God has a responsibility, or at least He has, in order for us to be saved, the wind has to blow. And the only thing we have to do is believe. That's it. And I can imagine the look on Nicodemus' face as he walked away from the tent that night. He's thinking, "Wow, I've been going my whole life doing the best I can, doing all of my might to get to the very top. And now Jesus has told me none of that amounts to anything if I'm not born again." He said, "Well, Nicodemus, did he ever get born again?" Well, in John chapter number 19, you'll find Nicodemus comes help take the dead body of Jesus and bury it. It's more than likely Nicodemus got born again. The question I want to ask you this morning is, have you? Have you been born again? Have you ever called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul? And the thing I want to tell you this morning is, if the wind has blown by your way and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, don't let Him keep on passing by. But ask Him to save your soul and call upon Him. Because you never know if the wind's going to blow again. So when it blows, take advantage and ask Jesus to save your soul. Come forward. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the wonderful, the amazing gift of grace. Lord, though we could do nothing to deserve salvation, we could do nothing to earn salvation, You loved us. And by grace, Lord, You reach Your hand down and You desire to save sinners like us, Lord. And what a joy it is today to know that the only reason we're saved is because of Your love, because of Your grace, and because of You reaching out to us. So Father, today I just pray for those who may be listening and they're not sure, Lord, I pray that You would settle that matter, and I pray that they would get saved and they would call upon You for eternal life. We love You and thank You for Jesus who died on the cross and who rose again to make it all possible. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.